Christ, and that thou art the source of all blessing, and that thy word itself is the final authority of faith and practice, that we can turn to it with assurance, that we can turn to it with confidence, for heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words, they shall never pass away. Father, we do thank thee for the eternal living word of the eternal living God. We're conscious, Father, tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the revelation of his truth is linked to the word of the living God, that Christ himself is the eternal word, and that he has given full approval to the written word, the scriptures of truth themselves. And so, Father, as we turn now to thy truth relevant to the subject, we pray for wisdom. We pray, Father, for thy guidance. And we pray, Father, for thy blessing to this people. Whatever our state or condition might be, we pray that there might be a word in season. The blessing of the Lord might be our portion. We ask you now, Father, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that it might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. A few days ago, Dr. Runcie, who of course is the Archbishop of Canterbury, was addressing a synod of the Church of England. In the course of his remarks, he made what I would consider, and I would be sure you would also consider, he made an outrageous attack upon the Bible believers in this province. I want to quote you his words exactly as they are reported in the newsletter a few days ago. And I quote, and this is what he said, "Where there is strife in our world, you do not have to look hard to see the hand of various brands of fundamentalism. Islamic fundamentalism in the Middle East, Christian fundamentalism in Ulster, or Jewish fundamentalism in Israel. The hands of such communities are stained with blood, and where toleration is in peril, persecution stalks not far behind." Unquote. Dr. Runcie links the fundamentalists, that is, the Bible believers, a fundamentalist in the Christian sense, is one who believes the Bible to be the inspired word of the living God and accepts it without qualification as the truth of God, as the very word, the God-breathed book whom God has given to this earth in order that they might become wise unto salvation. Dr. Runcie tells us that the people who have this outlook and this belief, they are on a par with the events of the Middle East. And he implies that the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in this province are guilty of murder, and that they can be linked up with Islam, which of course is a bloodthirsty religion, and also with events amongst the Jews in the land of Israel. No community, I believe for quite a considerable time, has suffered more at the hands of the Roman Catholic IRA than the Protestant community in this province. I believe that one of the great reasons why there has not been civil war in this province, one of the reasons why there has been what I would term monumental restraint on the behalf of the majority of the people, has come about because of the influence of the Word of God in this province. And the reverence that many, many people have for it, and the influence and power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fact of history that communities across this earth who are the most law-abiding, the most tolerant and compassionate, are those that have been influenced by the Word of God and by the teachings of Scripture and by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fact of history that when you look into countries that the Bible is a closed book, and where efforts have been made to keep it out, in such communities there is wickedness, lawlessness, and evil. Biblical Protestantism, even according to the pages of history, is a forerunner of peace. It's a forerunner of prosperity and law and order and enlightenment in any community in which the Word of God is given its proper position. If you want to look at that subject on a worldwide scale, you've only got to stop for a moment and consider the histories of the North American continent and the South American continent. The United States and Canada are basically Protestant countries. They have a Protestant heritage. In those countries, there is prosperity and enlightenment and civil and religious liberty and democracy is there. And the blessing of the Lord attends such countries. You've only got to look into the history of South America, which has been basically, as far as its heritage is concerned, it has been basically a Roman Catholic continent. And when you study its history, it is one of dictatorship. It is one of corruption and bondage and oppression by those in authority upon the populace of those various countries. You can even come nearer home and you could study the history of this province of Ulster that Dr. Runcie so despises. You could study the history of this province, and you can study the history of Southern Ireland. And you will find that under Protestantism and under people who are influenced by the Word of God, where there is civil and religious liberty, the Roman Catholic Church has flourished because they have not been persecuted. They have been allowed to worship according to their conscience, something that they themselves would not do if they were in control and in authority. Their schools even are financed by the government, which is a crying shame. Because, in my judgment, church schools should be financed by the churches that institute them, not the government. And so, in this much despised province, the Roman Catholic Church has flourished. Because under Protestantism, there's civil and religious liberty, and there's freedom to proclaim the Word of God alongside the teachings of the Church of Rome, to the blessing of the province as a whole. You've only got to look down to the case of Southern Ireland. In the past 50 or 60 years, the Protestant population has been decimated. It has been cut down now to such an extent that it's almost non-existent. Why? Because the country of Erra, Southern Ireland, is predominantly Roman Catholic. It is a priest-ridden society. Church of Rome controls and dominates the affairs of the land. And if you wanted proof of that, you've only got to look at the situation in connection with Father Ryan, as he calls himself. And you can see there the control that the Church of Rome has over the forces of law and order, even in that country. Dr. Lunsay despises the fundamentalists of this province. He hates them for their stand for truth and for righteousness. He brands them as murderers, which is an utter disgrace and a crime before God. I want just this evening for a few moments to uphold and to defend biblical fundamentalism and to utterly oppose the statements made by Dr. Lunsay and to draw your attention to the teaching of the Word of God itself. Yea, the words that have emanated from the founder of Christianity, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the light of my subject this evening, the defense of biblical Protestant, biblical fundamentalism, which in actual fact is the real Protestant faith, because when you go right back to the Reformers, their stand was that the Bible, and the Bible alone, was a final authority of faith and practice. And that is the correct position to adopt, for so it is. It is the Word of the living God. And in the portion that we read together this evening, I would like, in relation to my subject, to draw your attention to the last three verses of this 8th chapter of Mark. And it reads like this, and Christ himself here is speaking, and he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." The first thing I want you to notice here is this, that historic Christianity has always been linked to a written revelation. Let me repeat that. Historic Christianity has always been linked inexorably and irresistibly to a written revelation. You notice here the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself. But even as he speaks of himself, he links the revelation of himself with his words. Because he says in verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me." He doesn't stop there. You know, there's a Christ that is preached today that is not the Christ of the Bible. It is the Christ of man's imagination. It is the Christ of the traditions of church leaders. But that is not the real Christ. The Bible warns us in the last days, and if you take time to read Matthew 24, and Christ is speaking of the last days, he talks about false Christs. There are many false Christs being preached today. The real Christ, you notice, is linked to the Word of God. Because Jesus here speaks, he says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words." Ashamed of me and my words. Historic Christianity is linked to a written revelation. It might surprise Dr. Runcie to realize, if he ever reads his Bible, which I seriously doubt, by the way, if he takes time to read the Word of God, he will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, was a biblical fundamentalist in his preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ was a biblical fundamentalist in his preaching. If you want a proof of that, All you've got to do is to turn with me to Matthew 5, where the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching here to the multitudes. His great Sermon on the Mount. Some people are very late in their remarks, and they don't like to hear the gospel message about the death of Christ. They say, "Oh, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount." Well, I often wonder again, did they ever read it? For Jesus, when he was on the Mount, he said these words, and I quote from Matthew 5 and verse 17. And he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now the word jot there is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And tittle is just a part of one letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "I am come to fulfill the Old Testament. To fulfill the Old Testament in every word. So much so that not a jot nor a tittle will remain unfulfilled." He went right down to the most minute parts of the written revelation of the Old Testament, and he said, "I am come to fulfill it." He was a fundamentalist. He was one who based his entire earthly ministry upon the infallibility of the Word of the living God. And of course, now that the Lord has come himself and finished his work on earth and gone back to heaven, and you have the record in the New Testament takes its place with the Old and brings before us the infallible and inerrant Word of the living God. And if you take time to study the documents, the confessions, the articles of every historic Reformed church, you will discover that those churches uphold the inerrancy of the Word of God. Even Runcie's own church, the Anglican Church, with its articles of religion, the sixth of those articles of religion reads like this, and I quote, "The Holy Scriptures containeth all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man, that it should be believed as an article of the faith." What does that mean? It means that the Bible, the Anglicans that Runcie is supposed to uphold, the doctrines that he's supposed to preach and defend, that the articles of faith in the Anglican Church states that the Bible is the final authority. If you don't find it in the Bible, you're not required to believe it. That's the teaching. Could take up your time for a considerable period. It was a very hot evening, so I'm not going to do so. I could gather up the articles in the Presbyterian Church, in the Methodist Church, in the Baptist denominations, and I could prove again and again that they uphold the Bible as the Word of the living God. And so I state before you this evening that true Christianity, real true Christianity, is based upon a written revelation as the founder of the faith himself declared when he was upon this earth. And that revelation, that written revelation, is the final authority of faith and practice. The second thing I want you to notice is this. Historic Christianity has always upheld the fundamental teachings and doctrines of the Word of God. I'm well aware that there are differences of opinion in the beliefs of Presbyterians and Anglicans and Baptists and Methodists and so forth. Those differences of opinion are in that which regards the government of the church and the mode of baptism and so forth. However, when you take time to study all the historic Reformed churches and denominations, you will discover that they all unite. Those who take the Bible as the final authority, they all unite in the fundamentals of the faith. They all unite in basic doctrines and teachings of the Word of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ, in our text, he speaks about his words. And of course, as we have already discovered, the ministry of Christ stands by the canon of Holy Writ. And when you take time to study the Word of God and to look at its interpretation of its messages, its doctrines, its teachings, there are certain basic fundamental teachings that every Christian believes, whether he's a Baptist, whether he's an Anglican, whether he's a Methodist, whether he's a Presbyterian, or whatever. There are certain basic fundamental teachings that he or she believes, because they are the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God in a unique sense. He is the second person of the glorious Trinity. And I tell you this, every born-again believer, no matter what denomination he belongs to, if he's truly saved and a partaker of real basic Christianity, he believes that. He believes it. He believes in his virgin birth, that God was his father, not Joseph. He believes that he lived a sinless life on a different plane from other men. Otherwise, he could never have been our Redeemer. They believe in his atoning death upon the cross, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he didn't die a martyr. He didn't die a failure. He didn't die as a good man. He died as a God-man, as a sacrifice, because it's according to the Scriptures. That's how he died. That's the teaching of the Bible. That he rose again. Praise God, he rose again, triumphant over death and hell and the grave. He ascended. He's at God's right hand. He's the one and only mediator between God and man. And one day he's coming again with power and great glory. And I tell you this, these are fundamental things that I'm talking about tonight. These are basic. These are the teachings, the doctrines of the written revelation. And these things are believed by every born-again believer. So not only have we a written revelation, but we have vital doctrines emanating from that revelation. And my last thought is this tonight. Your attitude regarding these doctrines, these teachings,
will decide the destiny of your soul. That's how serious it all is. That's why I preach tonight as I do. Your attitude to the teachings of Holy Writ decide the destiny of your soul. Dr. Runcie went on, I want to quote again from what he says. And I quote, later the Archbishop said, I want faiths without fanatics. He wants faiths. He didn't say he wants the faith, but he wants faiths, plural, without fanatics. When you get fanatics, you get persecution. When you get persecution, you get bloodshed. It is possible to be a fundamental Christian without needing to prop up your faith by fearful denunciations and words writing off other people and their faiths. Unquote. I want to take those words of this man who heads up the Anglican Communion in England and compare them with the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? The Lord said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. And he's now not talking about faiths in the plural. He's talking about the faith. He's talking about the Bible, the written revelation. He's talking about the teachings of the Bible, especially concerning him. He goes on to say, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And I want you to notice that 38th verse is connected with the verses that go before, because he says there in verse 38, whosoever, therefore. So when he's talking here about himself and his words, and about the fact that there will be some who will disobey and disbelieve and reject himself and his words, and the faith that awaits them is made abundantly clear in the two verses that precede. Because the therefore of verse 38 must be taken up in the light of verses like 36 and 37. And in verse 36 it says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Runcie says, you're not to denounce other faiths. You're not to write off other people. Whether Runcie likes it or not. And of course the difference between biblical fundamentalism and these other fundamentalists, especially Islamic fundamentalism, the difference is that the Bible believer speaks the truth in love. But he speaks the truth nevertheless. I can't speak the truth. Or what I should say is, I cannot love the souls of men without speaking the truth. If I get up here and speak another message, and it's not the truth, I don't love your soul. But the biblical fundamentalist, if he's seeking to serve God acceptably, he will speak the truth in love. But in speaking the truth in love, he will denounce all other faiths. He will denounce them. Why? Because Jesus Christ denounces them. Jesus Christ condemns all who reject Him and His words. He links that up. If you reject this book, reject the Christ of this book, you will perish and perish forever. Let me make that abundantly clear. If you're trusting in Islam or trusting in the Jewish faith that denies the deity of Christ and the Messiahship of Christ, if you're trusting in any other heathen religion or cult, you will perish. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the teaching of Jesus. And therefore, I denounce Dr. Runcie this evening. I denounce him as a liar. For biblical Protestantism does not produce murderers. It produces law-abiding citizens who seek to worship God and seek by His help and by His grace to conduct themselves in such a fashion that the gospel that they uphold will be adorned by their behavior and by their conduct. That they will seek to put the Bible first, the teachings of the Bible first, and to uphold the Lord Jesus Christ and to go forth. And I tell you this, he talks about the fundamentalists persecuting. He needs to take another look at Ulster to see who is being persecuted today. Because when a man takes the stand that I'm seeking to take this evening, you can rest assured this fact, he will not be popular. He will be despised and hated. And I tell you this, if Dr. Billy Graham took the stand that he should be taking as a fundamentalist, the Pope wouldn't be inviting him to come over and have a talk with him. Nor would he have the plaudits of the world and have the blessing of apostate leaders if he was really standing for God. For Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. He was sinless. None of us are sinless tonight that seek to follow him. But he also said that if we were to follow him, they will hate you also. Bible believer is the one who's persecuted and despised and hated. But nevertheless, with God's help, I trust that each and every one of you will take your stand by the word of God in this evil and adulterous generation. You'll not be ashamed of what the Bible states, what the Bible has to say about Christ, about the teachings of Christ himself, about the destiny of our souls being affected by what we believe concerning Christ, because we do not know him. If we're not saved by his grace, we will lose our souls. We will go to hell. That's another basic fundamental truth that's brought out clearly in the word of God, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so, dear friends, this is not just a little argument tonight. This is not just a desire to, as we would say in this part of the world, have a go at Runcie. Oh no, it's more serious than that. This man is attacking the very core and center of the Christian life and the Christian faith. And we need to get down and study and see what the Bible has to say. And that those of us who are redeemed, that we might be, as the Bible says there, not ashamed of Christ and his words in our day and generation, but stand by them and proclaim them and witness to them. Because all who don't do it will perish. Am I speaking to someone tonight and you're not saved? If you do not come to Christ, be washed in His blood, born again of His Spirit, you will perish. No other faith will help you nor save you. No other religion can deliver you from hell. Only Christ and Christ alone. And I leave with you His great words, which, when you stop and consider them, they are very unique words. They could only be made by Him. Listen to what He said in John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man." Now, there's a very powerful statement. No man. In other words, every other faith, every other way, every other message is not the truth. Every other message cannot bring light nor life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a fundamental statement made by a fundamentalist, even the founder of the Christian faith himself. And we reject that statement at our peril. Turn away from it and you will be doomed. You will perish eternally. But find in Him your Redeemer and your salvation. And you will find in Him your all in all. May God bless His word to our hearts. Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as always, I want to make it clear that I am your servant for Jesus' sake. If I am speaking to someone tonight and you're not saved but you would like to be, all you've got to do is to remain behind and have a word with me. I would count it a privilege to speak with you, to pray with you, that this very night you might find Christ. If you're a backslider, you've wandered away, you're out of touch with God, but you would like to return, and I again would welcome you to remain. Settle this matter tonight. Have restored unto you the joy of God's so great salvation. Our Father, we leave thy word before this people. Bless it. Prosper it in the thing to which thou hast sent it. May it bring forth fruit, even unto life everlasting, for Christ's sake. Amen.